to introduce the perspective that one should have on tzedakah, let's start with a medrash that Rashi brings down in Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma and Parshas Vayakel. It says that when they gave the nedava to the Mishkan, so the Nesiim said, we will wait and see what Klal Yisrael bring from the 13 different things that had to be brought. And whatever they don't bring, we will make up the deficit. And in the end, they made up a very nice deficit. They brought all of the precious stones for the Eifel and the Choshen. They brought the Shemen for the menorah. And they also brought the Besamim, the Samim, for the Ktores and for the Shemen HaMishkan. All very expensive things, and things that were absolutely necessary. The Nesiim were punished. A Yud was left out of their name. Question is why? I mean, I wouldn't want mind somebody who came to me and said, look, raise what you can. Whatever you can't raise, I will give you and make up the deficit. And he did it and made up the deficit. I would not punish that guy. I wouldn't take a yud out of his name. I'd probably put his name up on a plaque. So what was wrong? And why was that the punishment, that they got a yud taken out of their name? I just wanted to say a simple idea. If you look and figure out how to make the cheshbon right, there are 13 things that went into building the Mishkan. Out of those 13, the Nesiim only gave 3. That means they didn't give 10. So a yud, 10, is left out of their name. 10 things they didn't bring. But in any case, I have a much better pshat, but it's going to wait till the end almost. In order to understand what the problem was with the Nesiim and why the punishment fit their crime, let's start with a medrash. Medrash says, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says that Turnus Rufus HaRasha once asked Rabbi Akiva the following question. If your God loves poor people so much, why doesn't he support them? So Rabbi Akiva said, of course God could support the Aniyim. Right? It's absurd to think that if you believe that the Rabban Hashem gives rich people extra money and commands them to give the poor, that God couldn't cut out the middleman, give it directly to the poor man. Why have to give it to the rich guy and tell him to give it to the poor guy? Give it to the poor guy. Of course the Rabban Hashem could cut out the middleman. The purpose of the tzedakah is not for the sake of the ani. The Rabban Hashem could support aniyim. But the Rabban Hashem wants to give ashirim the opportunity to be able to give tzedakah, that we should have the schus to put us in Gan Eden and save us from Gehenna. And that really is what Chazal say in the Gemara Bava Basra. Yoser mimashe he osher osem ha'ani. More than what a rich man does for the poor man by giving him tzedakah, he ani osem osher. The ani does for the osher. Because the osher only gives the ani money which God can give him. But the ani gives the osher the opportunity to get a schus, a mitzvah, that even the Rabban Hashem can't give. Hakobi de shemayin chutz meir shemayin. The ani affords the osher an opportunity to do a mitzvah. Whereas the osher only gives the ani money. And we learn from a pasuk in Megillas Rus. Ha'ish asher asisi mo hayom shmo Boaz. Rus told Naomi, the guy I did for today, what'd she do for him? She took his money. Right? She went and took matnas aniyim. She took the gleanings from the field. So the man I did for today, what'd you do for him? You gave him a tremendous mitzvah. Without me, he wouldn't have had that mitzvah. I did more for him than he did for me. He gave me his tvua. The Rabban Hashem could have given me that. But I gave him a mitzvah. Agav, there is a shail in the Achronim. Whether the mitzvah of tzedakah is a mitzvah b'inaron l'chaveiro or a mitzvah b'inaron l'mako. Right? And it has far-reaching considerations. Right? Do I have a chiyuv mamon? Right? Somebody have a tvi on me if I give him tzedakah? right? Is it a mitzvah bein onim lechaveiro? Or it's a mitzvah, the Rabbanu Shalom said, to give tzedakah. The oni has no shibur on me, the oni has no tviya on me, right? He has no claim on me. It's purely between me and the Rabbanu Shalom. The Rabbanu Shalom told me what to give. This idea has nothing to do with that. Because after the Rabbanu Shalom set up the world in such a way that he wants Ashirim to get benefit by giving Aniyim, then it's also Benom L'Chaver. Then that's the way the Rabbanu Shalom wants to be Farnas Aniyim. This Shaila has nothing to do with the Shaila in Hashkafa, whether a Tzedakah is for the sake of the Ani or for the sake of the Asher. It could be that the Rabbanu Shalom gave this mitzvah and set up the world in such a way that Aniyim depend on Ashirim, it's all for the sake of the Asher. But the Maisa, once the Rabbanu Shalom set that up, then the Ani has a tefiyah on the Asher. Then the Rabbanu Shalom set it up that Aniyim have to depend on Ashirim. And therefore it's a tefiyah mamon, and it's a Deinar L'Chavera. But the initial, that's what this Hashkaf, the initial reason why the Rabbanu Shalom set up the world, that there should be people who need, and people who supply those needs, is for the sake of the Asher, not for the sake of the Ani. Because for the sake of the Ani, the Rabbanu Shalom could have set up the world differently and taken care of the needs of the Ani himself. And not make Aniyim. Don't make people who need. Give everybody what they need. We don't have to have people understanding their needs or not understanding their needs. There shouldn't be any needs. But the Rabbanu Shel Olam set the world up as a medrash like that. That if Chesed Ve'emes Mi Yintzeru, right? If the Rabbanu Shel wouldn't have set up the world in such a way that there are people of need and people who can give the need, there wouldn't be any Chesed. And the Rabbanu Shel wants there to be Chesed. He wants there to be Tzedakah in the world. Okay, that's just in parentheses. And because of that, there are those that say that when a person gives tzedakah to an ani, he really should kiss the ani. Just like people kiss chefze mitzvah, right? You kiss your tefillin, kiss an estrogen lulav, right? The ani is a chefze, he's an opportunity through him for me to do a mitzvah. Without him, I couldn't do this mitzvah. On the other hand, you shouldn't do that. Because it's like seeing a midget and going washing your hands and big kavana, making a bracha out loud, right? Mishana abriyas, right? That is not binorim lechaveiro what you should do. Same thing, giving an oni a big kiss because he gives you the opportunity to do a mitzvah is probably mavaza the oni tremendously. So, but conceptually, that would be an inyan if it wouldn't make the Ani feel like an Esrig, or a Lulav, or more like an Arava. But in any case, but the idea is there. Okay. That's why in the mitzvah of tzedakah, mitzvah of giving to Hachzaka Satora, or to the Mishkan, which is all similar to the inyan of tzedakah, right, we find the word vinosnu, Vinosnu can be read backwards and forwards the same way. Because it looks like you're giving, but you're really the one receiving. In fact, the word Vinosnu also is a kadma viazla. As much as you give, that's how much you receive. You're getting the mitzvah. Not only that, there's another hint in that, that it's a galgal hachozer ba'olam. You may give now, but next generation or next year, you may be on the taking side. And that may have seemed theoretical in the past, but you go to America today and you'll see gvirim who are on the giving end who have to take food for Shabbos because the way the stock market is or the way the economy is in America, the bigger they are, the harder they fail. And I'm not just talking about people who lost money with Madoff. Somebody who had enough money to lose with Madoff, the mice probably is not hurting that much. Right. It hurts him that he was had, but most people don't have that. Didn't have that. He didn't take everybody. He took only people who had chashuv amounts. There were exceptions, but I'm talking about people who had pension funds, people who had bank accounts, and they're worth nothing, and they're mamish ad paslech. They and you know what kind of busha that is for a person. They're talking de machsoro. Here it's mamish to the point where the person, you know, drove a Lexus, and now he can't afford food to put on his table for Shabbos. He's in danger of his house being taken away from him, and they have to give tzedakah in tremendous amounts to keep that person, that he shouldn't be mavuyish in the community. So those are not perceived needs, they're real needs, and they're big amounts for people who mamish day machzor. So v'nosnu, you give, but you never know, you may be on the taking end very soon, or your children, or your grandchildren. So that's another remez in that, the fact that v'nosnu can be read backwards and forwards the same way, and the tami hanigin or kadma v'asar. But I think this idea is also inherent. And that is, giving, you're really receiving. Because the ability to be able to give enables you to get the schus that the Rabbanu Shem wanted you to get. And that's why, find an interesting Rambam. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos in Maseches Avos explains the Mishnah there, Hakol Lefi Rov HaMaisa. He says that it's better for a person, and avadi halachically, right, this is not necessarily across the board, right, because all the things that Rabbi Stein mentioned, you have to take into cheshbon here too. But theoretically, the Rambam says like this. If a person has $100 to give out, it's better to give 100 aniyim, a dollar, than to give one ani $100. Okay? That's barring any other cheshbonos. Right? All these aniyim would be very happy to get a dollar. And the guy with $100, right, is not that he needs it, what's it called, and this is going to put him over the top or whatever. He also needs more. So everything even, better to give 100 aniyim, a dollar each, than one on the $100. Why? Because based on this idea. If the idea is that you're helping out the ani and that's the ikkar of tzedakah, then you probably help out one ani with $100 better than you help out 100 aniyim with $1. But if the idea is that the inyan is that you should have the schus, then the more maisa tzedakah that you give, right, even though it's less quality, but it's more quantity, giving over and over and over again makes you a better person. Because the more you do it, the more you become conditioned to be about tzedakah. So the Rambam says, better to do the maisa more times than do it one time and more qualitatively. Quantity is better than quality. But that's only if the ikkar is how it affects me, not how it affects the ani. So that's why Hakol Lefi Rov HaMaisa. With that, I wanted to explain a halacha in Purim. Purim, there's two mitzvahs the Chachamim instituted. Mishloach Manos, right? You give presents to your rich friends, right? Food presents. And you give two things to one friend. That's the minimum. Two different things to one friend. And then they made Matanos Levyonim. Matanos Levyonim is giving one present to two aniyim. L'chora, if they said that your rich friend gets two things, why'd they make that each ani gets two things? Why by the aniyim, they made it to give two aniyim but one thing? And by the usher, one usher but two things. And secondly, why did they make a mitzvah altogether of Matanos Levyonim? There's a mitzvah of tzedakah. Purim is no different than any other day of the year. Somebody comes and asks for tzedakah. Why all of a sudden a special mitzvah of tzedakah on Purim? Let me answer the second question first. There's a very big danger. Purim celebrates, one of the foundations of Purim is that the Ribono Shel Olam runs the world. Hashgacha, that even things that look like are regular coincidence, but nothing's a coincidence. The Ribono Shel Olam is behind the scenes, and even in the time of Hester Panim, the Ribono Shel Olam is there. That's one of the key ideas of Megillas Esther. The Ribono Shel Olam runs the world. There's a very dangerous conclusion a person can make from that. The Ribono Shel Olam runs the world, fine. What does the Ani need me? Right? Well, let the Ribono Shel Olam take care of him. He doesn't even need me. The Ribono Shel Olam is behind everything. Nothing is left to chance or coincidence. So if this guy's poor, either the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't want him to have the money, so why should I interfere? Or the Ribono Shel Olam can take care of him. So let the Ribono Shel Olam, why should I get mixed in? Right? I don't run the world. The Ribono Shel Olam runs the world. That is a treifa cheshbon. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says that I should be a big maimon when it comes to myself and not be chorus for somebody else. What does he mean? says, if you lose your job and you don't know where your next meal is going to come from, so you have to tell yourself, have bitachon, the Rabban Shalom will provide, right? There's a Rabban Shalom in this world, and if you're going to suffer, there's a reason for it, and you're mekabel it b'simcha, and you'll do your hishtadlis that you have to do, but if that's what it is, have bitachon, have emunah. But if your friend loses his job and he comes to you crying, he doesn't know where his next meal's going to come, and you give him a nice chizuk, musar shmuz, right? Don't worry, the Rabban Shalom takes care of the world, have bitachon. If you're starving, it's probably a good reason for it, and what's it called? And if not, the Rabban Shalom will provide for you. You're a Rosha Marusha. The Rabban Shalom wants you to help this guy. That's why he came to you. So for yourself, you have to be a big maimon about bitachon. For somebody else, you have to be an apikoros. That cheshbon is not there, because that's exactly why the Rabban Shalom made people who have and people who don't have. He wants you to help him, for your sake. So Enoch Nami, the Rabban Shalom, runs the world, but his rotzen is that you be a shliach. Neilan Purim is a very big danger. People get intoxicated, literally, with the fact that the Rabban Shalom runs the world. Right? So the Rabban Shalom runs the world. I don't give a name. Let the Rabban Shalom take care of them. So not to make that mistake, Chazal made a mitzvah matanis levyonim on Purim. The Rabban Shalom runs the world, but he runs it through you, and he wants you to give that ani. And that's why the mitzvah is to give two aniyim, like the Rambam says, hakolafi rova maisa, and only one thing. The ani really could do without you. He doesn't need your two things. One thing will be enough. And give to two aniyim, because the ikkar is for you, that you should get conditioned to do it. Your usher friend, you don't know if he's going to be an usher tomorrow. You better give him two things. Who knows what's going to be in the future? Just because he's an usher doesn't mean he can depend on that. So you better give him two things, right, for fear that who knows what's going to be tomorrow with him. And the ani, it's enough, give him one thing. He'll be okay. The Rabban Shalom will take care of him, but he wants you to do it, so give to two aniyim and get conditioned. I think that's the at least one idea behind the thing. The same concept applies to, I assume that clock is wrong. Unless Rehovot has a different... the same thing applies to Hachzokas HaTorah, supporting Torah. We find the Chafetz Chaim says the following on the pasuk: Eitz Chaim hilam achzikim ba v'somcheha meushar. Chafetz Chaim says like this: there are two attitudes in supporting Torah. One attitude is that I'm supporting Torah, doing the Torah a favor, doing Torah institutions a favor, doing lomdei Torah a favor by supporting them. And a person who feels like that is ma'ushar. He will be fortunate, he'll get a schar for doing a mitzvah. But for him it's not an Eitz Chaim. It's not a tree of life. Who is t'micha satorah, those who support Torah, an Eitz Chaim? L'machzikim bo. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the word l'hachazik means to hold on to something for dear life. If you're drowning and a log floats by, and you hold on to it for dear life, that's called lahachzik. You're holding on to that keresh, holding on to that thing. Somebody who realizes that supporting Torah is really supporting himself. Like it said, the Aron was no seis no sub. The people who carried the Aron, who supported the Torah, but they were really supported by the Torah. The Torah carried them. It looked like they were carrying the Aron, but the Aron carried them. So they say that is the hint that people who support Torah are really supporting themselves, just like tzedakah. The ikkar is not for the sake of the ani. The Rabban Shalom can take care of the ani. You don't think the Rabban Shalom can support Torah institutions? He needs you to support them? About it, the Rabban Shalom can support them. But he wants to give this schus. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim not only said divrei Torah, he lived them. Somebody once came to the Chafetz Chaim, I'm waiting for somebody to do this to me and I will fail the test. I guarantee it. But I'm just waiting to fail this test. But Chafetz Chaim, somebody came to him and said, I would like to underwrite the entire budget of Yeshivas Radin. Chafetz Chaim said, I'm sorry, I can't accept the money. He said, why, is something wrong with my money? He said, no. He said, the Rabban Shalom could underwrite the entire budget of Yeshivas Radin. So why doesn't he? Why does he make me have to go out and raise money? because the Rebbeinu Shlom wants to give this schus to Klal Yisrael to support my yeshiva. I can't let you take the whole schus. You want a portion? Fine. I can't give you the whole thing. It's not fair. Now, if somebody comes to me, I guarantee you, I will not refuse it. Right? So if you want to do that, please. I promise you, I won't refuse it. I'll take your money. I know the Panavish Rav would have done differently too. The Panavish Rav would have taken the money and built him a yeshiva. They were so cool. No shyla. Chavetz Chaim said, look, I can't do it. I can't take all your money. The Rebbeinu Shlom could support my yeshiva, right? The reason he doesn't is he wants to give the schus to Klal Yisrael. I can't let one person hog that schus. In any case, the truth is that, one more maisa. Tells you maisa. Famous Maisa that the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva of Blazer Gordon, the founder of Telzer Yeshiva, when he got married, his wife was the daughter of Rabbi Yitzchok Nevazer, who was a Rav, I don't remember where. He was a Rav in a Litvisha city, not a very big city. He surely was not a rich man. But the minig in those days was that they didn't give, you know, sidur mole, buy an apartment and a car and make the person live like a gvir, right? In order they should be able to be moser nefesh for learning Torah. But if you sense some sarcasm, it was meant. In any case, Lamaisa, what they did was that the couple lived with the in-laws and they ate at their table for a certain amount of years. So the father-in-law realized that this young man is Asid L'Gedula. He had all the signs of being one of the Gedolei Yisrael in the future, which he was. So he agreed to have the couple stay in his home and eat at his table for 5 years. That was the deal. At the end of the 5 years, they already had a few little children. And the father has difficult, you know, to the extra grocery bills or whatever. And Blazer Gordon was offered a rabbonis in a certain city. And he wanted to start on his own. You know, he can make his own parnasa with the rabbonis, would have taken care of his needs. And he really wanted to take this rabbonis. So he sent his wife to her father to thank him for the 5 years and to notify him that he had this offer and he would like to take this rabbonis and leave and start to, you know, Mosai Esa Nochi Lebes. Things were very different then. In any case, so the daughter goes to her father. She tells him this. He turns white and he says, no way. No way, you have to stay another 5 years. If it's money, I'll give you more money, whatever it is, but you have to stay another 5 years. She went back to her husband and she told him. He said, look, I feel very uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable, you know. I know that's difficult for your father, but you know, I owe my curse at all. But if it means so much to him, Mama should turn white and he begged you that we should stay. We have no choice but to stay. This conversation would not go on today. Not that thing. I guarantee. Guarantee. Okay. Or a nicer, the opposite extreme. That happened quite a few years ago. Today, it probably is worse. That in some in America, not here. That girl got engaged and she went to pick out furniture with her parents. And the parents were not very wealthy people. They could afford or whatever. And she picked out the furniture that was fit for, you know, the Queen of England. And the most expensive. So the father said, you know, I'm more than willing to get you furniture, but, you know, this is beyond my capabilities. I'm going to have to go, besides the wedding or whatever, just for the furniture, I'm going to have to go into debt, who knows what, you know. She said, look, you owe this to me. You had me, you owe this to me. The father died of a heart attack, so he never made it to the wedding. I'm sure she was happy this time she got a nice Yerusha or insurance money or whatever. But then he felt very uncomfortable to have to stay another 5 years and to live off his father-in-law. But what can I do if that's what the father-in-law wants? So they stayed another 5 years. And now he had bigger children. It was really difficult to support them. And this time he got at the end of the 5 years, he got a very chashuva offer of Rabbanus, his first Rabbanus, and he really wanted to take it. This was an opportunity. So he sent his wife again. And this time the mother-in-law was also there. The father-in-law and the mother, the father and mother of the wife. So the wife said, look, my husband, this, you know, we've been here 10 years. It's really, we know it's difficult for you. And my husband has this great opportunity. He wants to take this Rabbanus. We want your bracha. So the mother-in-law said, you know, she's right. How long can we support them? And the father-in-law said, I don't know who's supporting who, but I can't stand in the way of my son-in-law's career. I give my bracha, let him go. And the day they left, the father-in-law was niftar. And then the mother-in-law understood that he didn't know who's supporting who. Who knows? You know, the mitzvah of achzokas haTorah is the machazik in bar. The schus is basically for the person who's giving it. And who knows who's supporting who? It looks like the people carrying the aron are carrying the aron, but really the aron's carrying them. And that's the mitzvah. You know, today with this shailah, you know, the government paying this achzokas avreichim or not paying it or whatever, somebody once said, I don't remember who, one of the gedolim, that the schus kiyum of Medina Yisrael, right, is the fact that they support so much Torah. That's what's keeping the Medina going. That they, the Lamaisa, they do support a lot of Torah. A lot of what's called Torah, whether like to admit it or not, right, whether it's the entire budget or not, but it's a lot more money than the American government supports Torah in America. Right, that's a guarantee. Right. Plenty of money from the Medina goes to support Torah. But the truth is that is the schus kiyum of this Medina. Some God will say that. And if they'll stop supporting Torah, who knows what kind of schus kiyum the Medina will have. And it's not so far to think that tomorrow anything could happen. I mean, if you're in the hands of an Obama or with this pressure or that pressure, and you look around and see all of the existential threats that exist. Every day is another existential threat. Everybody's talking about, right, that if they don't have some schus of being able to exist despite all of that, what's going to be? So they think that they're supporting Torah and they're giving out money or whatever, when really that's their schus. That's the schus of why this country is able to exist. Obviously, most people don't understand that. Not only Chilonim don't understand it, Frum people don't understand it. Right? Could be even the Avreichim don't understand it. But in any case, that's the Mitzvah. So that's Hachzokas HaTorah also. The Nemela, the same thing held true for the Mishkan. Think for a second. God says, okay, I want you to build a Mishkan. So we need donations. Okay? Anybody has a kesef, a zov, a nechoshes, cheles, argomon, could you please give it? Because I really wanted to build Mishkan, and you know, I just don't have the means to do it, so I need you guys to contribute. That's absurd. The Rav Moshe could have said, poof! And all of a sudden, all the Mishkan could be built, right? The third base of Mishkan, according to some, could be built Minas Shamayim. The Russian couldn't build the Mishkan. And even if he wanted us to build it, he couldn't create the wherewithal to do it, give it to us. But then we have to make donations. The Rav Moshe has a deficit, right? I really need you guys to help out. Well, could you donate these things? I don't have them. It's absurd. Elamai, it's obvious that the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to give us a schus that we should give of ourselves to the Mishkan. So the whole cheshbon of the Nesiyim was straight. What does the Nesiyim say? We'll make up the deficit. Whatever Klal Yisrael doesn't bring and is missing, we'll bring. What deficit? There's no deficit. There's not an idea of here of bringing something to make up what's necessary. There's nothing necessary. If the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to, he could give it himself. He wants everybody to have that schus, so run and give the schus, you gotta get the schus. You're waiting to see what's not getting, so you can make up the deficit. You can give the Rabbanu Shalom what he needs. It's absurd. Everybody has that immediate need to get as much schus as you can get. The Nesiim should have shown Klal Yisrael that that's what it's all about. Not to wait. Not because they weren't reason. Not because they didn't give in the end. Their whole gisha, their whole perspective was crooked. There's no deficit over here. The Rebbe wants you to give because you're saved, not because he needs your money, not because he needs your materials. He could create the materials himself. So the whole idea was not proper. So therefore, what was their punishment? A yud was left out of their name. With the yud, it's read Nisi'im. Nisi'im means those who carry others. But without the yud, you can change the vowels and read it Nisa'im. People who are carried by others. You think you're carrying the Mishkan? You think you're carrying the Torah? You're the ones being carried. You're not the ones carrying. You're not making any deficits. So that's why the Yud's left out of the name. You're not the Nisiyim. You're the Nisoyim. You're the ones who are being carried. I just wanted to say, let me have a Chumash here. Shmos. No? Okay, I have to, if you don't mind, yeah, because I want to make sure it says what I said. If you look in Parshas Truma, when it lists the ingredients, the materials for the Mishkan, it lists them like this. Zohav, v'kesef, u'nechoshes, u'scheles, v'argoman, v'solashoni, v'sheish, v'izim, v'oros, elim, v'adomim, the oros techoshim va'asei shitim. All vavs connected, one after the other. After zohav, vachesef, unechoshes, vav after vav. Then, shemen lama'or, not a vav. Besomim l'shemen ha'mishra, no vav. V'lektores ha'samim. Avnei shom v'avnei meluim la'ifo v'lachoshim. No vavs. Why those last three things don't have a vav? That's in Truma. But if you look in Vayakel, where it reviews it, and it says what they actually did. So there it says it differently. It says, Zeh hadover ha-shetziv ha-shem le'mor, Moshe Rabbeinu now commanded, Kechu me'idchem trumal ha-shem, kol nedivlibo yivyeh trumas ha-shem, zohav v'cheset u'nechoshes, u'scheles, v'argoman, v'solah ha-shoni, v'sheish, v'izim, v'oros eilim mo'adim, v'oros t'choshev ha-zishitim, v'shemen la-mo'or. Here it has a vote. Why? It's thinking like this. There's another difference. It doesn't say, zohav la'aron v'la-kapores. Kesef la'adoni. Right? It doesn't say all that. It just says zohav, kesef, nechoshes. It doesn't say what it's for. Only by shemen, it says shemen la'ma'or. B'samim l'shemen ha'mishra l'tor sasamim. Right? Avnei shomen la'ifo v'lanu. Why over here does it tell you what it's for? So there's two possibilities. One simple one, and one that's a real reason. The simple reason is that all the other things are generic. There's Zav, so he brings Zav, Kesef, Nechoshes. All grades of Zav, Kesef, Nechoshes were okay for the Mishkan. Okay. But when it came to the Shemen, there are all different grades of Shemen. There's Shemen that's Kosis la'mor, and then there's Shemen that's okay for the Menachos. So they had to bring the grade of Shemen, Shemen la'mor, Shemen that was fit for the menorah. Not all Shemen is fit. Had to be a certain grade of Shemen. So it had to specify, right, because otherwise it's a different material. The shemen that's kosher for the menorah is not the same shemen that's kosher for menachos. So therefore, it has to say shemen lamor. It has to say besamim, there's a million kinds of besamim. Which besamim? The ones that went into the Torah sasamim and the shemen amishra. They were a certain group of besamim. They weren't all besamim, right? So it couldn't say besamim. There was a specific kind of besamim. What were they? The ones for these things. And the same thing goes for the Avni Shoam and Avni Meluim. There are a million different precious stones. The ones that they needed were the ones that went into the Choshen and the Eifel. Those specific stones. So that's a simple reason why by these it had to mention which ones, because it defined the material. The other ones were generic materials. Right? They bring Kesef, Zav, and so on. Okay? There wasn't different grades or different kinds or whatever. But there's another reason. The other reason is, Klal Yisrael understood that they weren't bringing the materials for the sake of the Mishkan. Because for the sake of the Mishkan, God can make the materials. They're bringing it for their sake. So they didn't bring Zohav for the Aron. They brought Zohav because they needed the schus. The Aron, the Rav Anshin can give Zohav for the Aron. When I brought it, I'm not bringing it for the Aron. And that's so foolish to think that God needs my Zohav to make his Aron. No, God can make the Aron. I'm bringing the Zohav for my schus. There's only three things that were the exception. What the Nesiim brought. Their cheshbon was, we'll make up the deficit. So what they brought Shemen Lamor, and the Samin was Shemen Amishcha, and Avnei Shom Le'ifov Lachoshim. Their cheshbon was, we're bringing it to make up the deficit. We're bringing it for the sake of that. Now when the Rabbona Shel Olam, and therefore, if the idea is that it's just because these are different, these define the materials, then it's all the same thing. It didn't have to say it by Zohav because there was only one kind of Zohav, or all kinds of Zohav were okay. It didn't have to say it by Keset, but these it had to say it. But they're all the same list, so there's a Vav that connects it. But if the idea is that these things were given with a different Kavana, then they're separate. Then they're separate lists. These things are one list, they were given one Kavana by Klal Yisrael, and these were given by Nesim with a different Kavana. When the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, right, so he hinted to Moshe Rabbeinu there's going to be a difference between the first ones. The Rebbe knows what everything's going to be, even though people have free choice, but the Rebbe knows. So when he told Moshe Rabbeinu, he told him in such a way that there was a hint that there's going to be a significant difference between the first materials and these last materials, because the last materials are going to be given with a different kavana, and therefore they no vav. But Moshe Rabbeinu told it over to Klal Yisrael. He couldn't tell them what's it called. Even it was a hint. Maybe he knew, maybe he didn't know. But then it would affect the free choice if it was already. The Rabbanus I'm talking doesn't affect free choice. But Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael and leaving out the Vav and letting them think that now that we have the materials, some people are going to give it with this Kavanah, some with this Kavanah, would have interfered with their free choice. So here, the Vavs are there, and the reason why it was, what's it called, mentioned, is not because they gave it a different kavana, because these materials have to be defined, and they're still part of the same list. So when it was said to Klal Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael had to understand the reason why it says Shemen Lamor in its simple way. But when it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mipi Agvura, there the Rebbeinu Shem hinted to him, these are going to be a different list. They're not going to be the same as the first list. First list are going to be given by Klal Yisrael with one kavana. These three things are going to be given Shemen Lamor, and different than the first things. Could be. Okay, in any case. So, therefore, based on all of this, the ikar of tzedakah, therefore, is not what you give. And again, since the Rebbeinu Shem said this is important what to give, and it's important to know how to give and who to give and what to give or whatever, because that's where the Rebbeinu Shem set the world. But the main original intention was that you should have the schus of giving. Therefore, we find an interesting halacha. And that is, even though it seems like tzedakah could be be'nar m'chaveiro, and the ikar is the onish you get, but if you give tzedakah with roa halev, the Rambam says, you give it with a sour face, you really don't want to give it, you give it begrudgingly, it could be you don't have any mitzvah. How could it be? The oni got the money. It says even if you lose money and an oni finds it, you get schus for that. So why should it be any worse if you give it begrudgingly? Because the ikar mitzvah is not that the oni should get. The ikar mitzvah is that you should be the person who wants to give. And if you give it begrudgingly, then you didn't give. Adarab. You're lo yeral, you're over a lav, lo yeral levavcha. So there's no mitzvah. The ikar mitzvah is missing. The ikar mitzvah is not the oni should get. Because the only the Rebbeinu Shem could take care of. Elomai, it's for your sake to be about tzedakah, to be about chesed. If you're not interested in it, and you give it begrudgingly, so what are you left with? That the only benefited. The only could have benefited without you. You didn't benefit. So the chubi is no mitzvah. And that's why, when it comes to chesed, there's an idea of ahavas chesed. Right? Ahavas chesed. It's not just giving and doing chesed. It's loving the chesed. Because again, chesed, the Rebbeinu Shem could take care of the needs of people. Right? They don't need you. I once want to say that somebody asked me a kasha this year. Good kasha, but I think the answer fits in with this. The Rabbanu Shel Olam saw that Avraham Avinu was sick after his bris milah, suffering, so he wanted to spare him having to be machnes oreya. So he made it very, very hot, so no travelers travel. Then the Rabbanu Shel Olam sees that Avraham Avinu is having more tzar, doesn't have guests, than from his bris milah. He's sitting out there waiting, well, where's the guest? So what does the Rabbanu Shel Olam do? Sends him three malachim. Why did Rabbanu Shel Olam send three malachim? Get a better etzah. Make it not hot. People start traveling, and there'll be normal guests. Why did he send malachim for? The answer, I think, is my Rosh Hashiva of Gifter asked, right, it's not normal, right? If the people come and get, they give their guests, people come, they need something, so you do the need. People don't run around looking to see if they're guests, to grab guests. If there's guests, there's guests. No guests. Sounds like, you know, Avraham Avinu has this compulsion, right, of having guests, and it sounds like some meshugah. But you said this, if people come, they'll come knock on your door. If they need you, they'll come ask you. But they go looking for them. But that's the difference. Avraham Avinu didn't do it necessarily dafka because he wanted to fulfill people's needs. He did it because he wanted to be a bal chesed, avas chesed. And he couldn't exist without doing that chesed. So he's looking for people to do chesed with. Mela, if the Rabbanu Shalom had made it cool, and guests would have come, what we would learn from Avram, that if people have a need, you have to fill it. But the Rabbanu Shalom B'davka sent them people who had no need. They were malachim. They didn't really need anything. So why did he send them? So Avram could be a bal chesed. Even though he didn't fulfill anybody's need. From there we learn what chesed really is. Chesed is not fulfilling other people's needs. If Avi, that's how you makayim the mitzvah. But the ikker is that you're doing what the Rabbanu Shalom wants you to do, to be like him, to be a giver, to be a bal chesed. So that's the reason why he sent the malachim, and the malachim didn't gain anything from Avraham Avinu. They only made it look like they were eating. They didn't have to eat anything. They didn't meet his achnasas orchin bechlal. But Lamai said, that's called achnasas orchin. The ikker is l'tzorech the asher, not l'tzorech the oreach. The Menela, I want to explain a difficult parish in the Torah. The Torah gives us a mitzvah of Meiser Oni, and it goes by cycle. The first 2 years of Shemitah, you give Meiser Rishon to the Levi, and Meiser Sheni you take to Yerushalayim and eat it. You enjoy it, you eat it, you just have to eat it in Yerushalayim. The third year, you substitute Meiser Oni, you give it to the Oni, Lager, Layosom, Lealmona, instead of Meiser Sheni. The fourth and fifth year is like the first and second year. The sixth year is like the third year. Again, Meiser Oni. And the seventh year is no Meisers, says Shemitah. Always bothered me. Wouldn't it make more sense the other way? First, give the Oni. Give him for two-thirds of the time. And then if you're a good guy, and you gave the Oni for 2 years, the Rabbanu Shalom says, okay, this year you don't have to give the Aniyim. This year, you can go to Yerushalayim and enjoy it yourself. It's like, you know, a prize. You did what you're supposed to. You gave the Oni for 2 years. Third year, one out of the three, take it for yourself. Right? You deserve now to have a little bit for yourself. It's just the opposite. First 2 years, take it for yourself. Only the third year, after you take it for yourself for 2 years, then you give the Oni 1 year. Wouldn't it make sense? The opposite order, and 2 years for the Oni and 1 year for you. But again, the ikur is not for the sake of the Ani. The Rabbanu Shalom says, I can take care of Aniyim. They don't need you. I want you, though, to enjoy giving to that Ani. I once had somebody that I gave some money for Yontif. And then I found out that he gave it away to some Aniyim. I said, time is on it. I gave it to you. I wanted you to enjoy Yontif with that money. Why'd you give it to these people? He said, I enjoyed my yontif a lot more knowing that these people were enjoying it. I felt like 2 cents. What's it called? You know, I didn't think of that. But in any case, so this person was a higher madriga than me. But so he told me, I did exactly what you wanted. You wanted me to enjoy the yontif more by having the money. I enjoyed it tremendously more knowing that these people who didn't have too much, had a nice yontif. Fine. Okay. So the Rosh Hashanah doesn't want you just to give. He wants you to enjoy it. So how does he do it? He educates you. The first 2 years of Shemitah, the Rabbanu Shalom says like this. And this is what Rabbi Stein mentioned in the end. The Rabbanu Shalom wants you to know that your money is not your money. He gave it to you. Sometimes he gives it to you and tells you to use it for this or to use it for that or something else. Sometimes you can benefit from it. First 2 years, the Rosh Hashanah says like this: I want you to take Maaser, and you can't eat it wherever you want. You have to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it. You can enjoy it, but you should realize it's not yours to do whatever you want with it. You have to take it. Why? Because it's mine. I gave it to you. And I have a right to tell you what to do with it. Except the first 2 years, I want you to know that you can enjoy doing that. You can go to Yerushalayim and enjoy eating your Maaser Sheni, but you're doing it with the knowledge that I have the right to tell you what to do with your money, because it's not your money, it's my money. After 2 years of getting conditioned to that, the Rav Hashem says, okay, now I'll tell you what I want you to do with my money. This year, I want you to give it to the Aniyim, and I want you to enjoy it just as much. Because that's the real mitzvah. Doing that mitzvah, and just as much as you enjoyed the first 2 years of taking the money that I gave you at Tanai, what to do with it, you enjoyed it, I want you to enjoy giving it to the Ani. Because that's the Iker mitzvah. So the Ani can be without you for 2 years. Don't worry, I'll take care of Aniyim. You don't have to worry about that. But I want you to have that mitzvah of tzedakah in the way that you'll enjoy it. So you need 2 years practice to enjoy doing with your money what the Rebbeinu Shem tells you to do with it. But you don't decide. Getting the idea, it's not my money. It's the Rebbeinu Shem's money. In fact, Tazra Shiva says, I think it's Blazer Gordon who says it, why by Meiser Behema? You have to count the animals. You can't just separate a tenth. But you have to count the animals. 1, 2, 3, and then 10 is Meiser. You have to let them go through a little gate, and you what's it called, each one you count, and then the 10th one is Meiser, and you put a red paint on it, and you know that's Meiser. Why don't you just say, count all your animals, take a tenth, right? That's so difficult. We have to start counting each one through the thing. So he said, because the Rav Hashem wanted you to do the following. 1 for me. 2 for me. The Rav Hashem was giving me 1 animal, 2 animals, 3, 7, 8, 9 for me. Oh, 1 Meiser. Right? Then it's much easier to do. If you have all your animals, you think they're all yours. Right? I have 500 animals. I can get 50 animals and give them away. Right? Meiser Behema. Right? I can't use it. Right? That hurts. But if I realize, no, the Rav Hashem gave me 1, he gave me 2, and he gave me 3, and he gave me 9, and 1 is Meiser, doesn't hurt so much, because anyway, it's not that I'm giving anything of mine. The Rav Hashem gave me 9, the 10th one he said to take. He didn't give me all 10, that's all. So I'm not giving anything, I'm getting 9. And the 10th, the Rav Hashem told me to do something else with. You have to understand that the money is not yours per se, it's given to you by the Rav Hashem. With that, you can understand something from this week's Sedra. Something from this week's Sedra. It says that Yaakov Avinu vayivoser Yaakov levado. So some Midrashim say al tikri levado elu lekado or lebado. The bad was the. He went. He forgot some earthenware jars. Shemen. That's to do with Hanukkah too, right? Pach, what's it called? Pachim Ketanim, and he went to get them. Okay, Mikan, the Gemara says in Chulin, she tzadikim chavidim aleihem mamonim yosem miguvan. A tzaddik, his money is more precious to him than his body. Now, this Gemara is extremely difficult because there's another Gemara, which this Gemara answers, but just raises a bigger question. The Gemara says, "Yohavtos Hashem Elokecha b'chol avavcha b'shnei yitzarecha b'chol nafshecha afilu notelis nafshecha v'chol ma'odecha is your money." Okay, so the Gemara asks, if you already know you have to give your life for the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course you have to give your money. Why do you have to mention b'chol ma'odecha after b'chol nafshecha? So the Gemara says, "Yesh b'nei Adam, there are people whose money is more precious to them than their body. They'll more easily give up their life than give up their money." Okay. So we normally think that those are meshugayim. I mean, what person's money is more important? And there are people like that. There are people who work themselves to death, never see their family, neglect their family, neglect their health for the sake of work, right? They're always at work, and they're always earning more money and more money, so they sacrifice their life and their family and everything for money. And that's sort of meshugayim. Right. It used to be an actor years ago, Jack Benny. Right. Jack Benny was known to be a miser. Right. Couldn't part with a penny. So one of the things they had, a guy comes to him, puts a gun to his head and says, your money or your life? Silence. He says, your money or your life? He says, I'm thinking. So that's a meshugana. I need the Torah to come along and tell me an extra pasuk b'chol moldecha from a shugoyim like that. The answer is they're not meshugoyim. Tzadikim, chavim malei mamon, yosem egufa. We're talking to tzadikim, but now it raises the question: that's a tzadik. Tzadik l'chol doesn't care about money altogether. What's money? So I want to explain like this. I heard once from Moshe Feinstein, mamish at a convention, a good convention. So I heard it mamish from him. So he, what's it called? He said the following. Yes, it was Parshas Vayishlach. The Agudah conventions were always, came out always Parshas Vayishlach because they always were Thanksgiving weekend. And Thanksgiving week was always Parshas Vayishlach. So, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky used to speak at Shalosh Shuvos, came out all the time. He said the same word, Shalosh Shuvos at the Agudah convention, Keseder on Parshas Vayishlach. It's a great word, but it had to do with the Shimon and Levi and the Panos or whatever. But in any case, so, it was always Kamat Parshas Vayishlach. So Ramosha asked the following question. It says, when Esav is telling Yaakov he doesn't need his present, he says, Yeshli Rav, I have more than I need. Yeshli Yosef, Yosef Ashitzarev, keep your presents. I don't need your presents. I'm a wealthy man. I have more than I need. Yaakov says, no, you keep the present. Ki Yeshli Kol, I have everything I need. So Moshe says, Yaakov Avinu was a rich man, and Esav is a rich man. If Esav would have had $10 million instead of $100 million, he would have also been happy. Except that he had more. So he had more than he needs. Yaakov Avinu had $100 million, and he said, Yeshli Kol, I have exactly what I need. Well, you have exactly what you need. And if you would have had $10, you wouldn't have exactly. Yaakov Avinu wouldn't have been happy with less. Right? It's only because he's a millionaire, then that's Yeshli Kol, I have everything I need. More tzugapas, at least for Esav to say Yeshli Kol and Yaakov to say Yeshli Rav, not the other way. Said Rav Moshe, there is no concept by a tzaddik of Yeshli Rav, I have more than I need. Because the Rabban Shalom gives you exactly what you need to fulfill your purpose in this world. That adds to this day machsoro asher yachsor lo. It's not just that I got used to a better lifestyle or whatever, but some reason the Rabban Shalom wants me to have those things. And he wants me to use them Lavodoso. By a tzaddik, every thing that he has, he realizes the Rabban Shem gave him. It's like a play. You come into the world, you have a part. Your neshama was created to fill a part in this world. So in order to fulfill your part, you need a costume, and you need props. So you get a body, that's your costume. Your body fits your role. And you get props. Somebody has more props, doesn't make him more important. The court jester may have 10 props. You know, pins and balls, and he may have 3 costumes to change into. And the king may only have a crown and a scepter, and 1 costume. Doesn't make the king less important than the court jester. It's just that for his role he needs 10 props, for his role he needs 1 prop. But a tzaddik understands that the Rabban Shem apportions out to each person what they need for their avodas Hashem. And every bit that a person has, 1 for me, 2 for me, that's It's the Rabban Shem giving it to me. It's not me getting it, me having it. Then if the whole thing of money is how it can give me pleasure, so if I had $1 million, I could have pleasure. And if I have $2 million, I have more pleasure. So Yeshli Rav, I have more than I need. That's a concept of a Rasha. But a tzaddik says, if the Rabban Shem gave me the $10 million, he means that I need to use that $10 million. Right? Person says that he has, what's it called, 10 mezuzahs in his house. I have more than I need. Well, you have more than you need. Exactly what you have. You have 10 rooms, you have 10 mezuzahs. You don't have more than you need. The person has 1 room, has 1 mezuzah. He only has 1 room. There's no such thing as more. That's what emotion says. Mamela, a tzaddik, I think, this is not to be blamed on emotion. This is the issue. So Mamela, a tzaddik, recognizes that every single thing he has is a keli for avodas Hashem. It's given to him somehow to be used for avodas Hashem. And his body is also a kli level. The Rosh gave him a body also, the costume and the props. It doesn't say that his money is more choshev to him. That's absurd. Of course, a body is more choshev. You don't have a body, you can't use your money. It says more chaviv. Chaviv. And the Gemara says, why is it chaviv? Shein poshtim idei megezla. Don't steal. So think like this. What makes something chaviv to a person? When you put more effort into it. The Torah be chaviv. Put effort into something so it's more chaviv to you. Both your body and your material possessions are kalim for avodas Hashem. Which one did you put more effort into? Let's see the body. How much effort do you have to put into getting your body? None. It's a birthday present. First birthday, you get a body, free, no effort at all. You have to put effort into using your body and maintaining your body. Two efforts out of three. How about money? So if you steal, maybe you can make money easily too. But if somebody doesn't steal and he has to earn every penny honestly, so he has to put effort into getting his money and into maintaining it and into using it. Three out of three. So which one's more chaviv? Both of them are kelim l'avodas Hashem. One necessitates two efforts, and one necessitates three efforts. So the one with the three efforts is more chaviv than the one with the two efforts. That's all. That's what it means. Sadiqim chavivim aleihem mamonam yosar migufa. And just to tell you, a peladik and medrash where you see this, that by a tzaddik, what he can do with his money is even more chashuv than he can do with his body. It says by the Akedah that the Satan came to Avraham and he said, went out of your mind. Right, tomorrow the Rabbanu Shalom is going to accuse you of murder, that you murdered your kid. You think that the Rabbanu Shalom wants you to murder your kid? Tomorrow he's going to call you a murderer. So Avraham said, Afa Pikein. So the Satan said, get nowhere with Avraham Avinu, went to Yitzchak. He said to Yitzchak, Vailo lehay alufsa, your poor mother. Right, your poor mother is going to hear about this, she's going to die. Which is back in the end. L'chorah, that's what happened. Yeah. So Yitzchak said, Afa Pikein. Maisa, that's not my cheshbon. The Rabbanu Shalom said to do it. I can't take that cheshbon. So Satan said to him, you know, all the toys that your mother made for you are going to go to Yishmael. So Yitzchak said, Avi, let's rethink this. His mother dying, Afa Pikein. But the toys that my mother made for me go to Yishmael? Nothing doing. Let's think about it. Maybe it's not good done. It's like a pshat. The pshat is, Yitzchak was willing to give up his life for the Rabbanu Shalom. But the money, which is the kelim avodas Hashem that I can do in this world, that kiddush Hashem, is not only not going to be used, it's going to be used by Yishmael for chilul Hashem. Then maybe the whole akedah is not going to die. B'chol modecha, yesh anoshim, shechavivim aleim amonim yosu migufa, because it's a kelim avodas Hashem. Maybe that talk is not kedai. Maybe we have to think. Maybe the whole akedah is not kedai if those same kalim that are so chaviv are not only not going to be used l'avodas Hashem, they're used for Yishmael to chilul Hashem. Then maybe talk is not kedai to go to that akedah. That was the Hashem. So money is a very, very important thing. It's not something that on the side of the ani you have to see that if an ani has day machsoro, that means that the Rabbanu Shalom wanted him to have that lifestyle. That could be a big difference also. I think Rabbi Stein was alluding to it. There are people who get used to a lifestyle that really is not theirs. And they become dependent on things or whatever. And they shouldn't. They should have been more moderate. And there are people that it's thrust on them. They didn't look for it. They were born into a rich home. They were born in an affluent neighborhood at affluent times. They didn't choose that. Obviously, the Rabbanu Shalom put them in this world. That's their part. They're supposed to be rich people. Then it's a different day machsoro to somebody who got it on his own and what's it called and conditioned himself to a lifestyle that maybe he didn't have to have, that maybe he didn't have to do. Then it's like the ashiris that you grab for yourself, the Medrash says, not that you see as a matana from the Rabbanu Shalom. So it could be that's also a nafkamina. But in any case, if you look at money properly, it's a kli for avodas Hashem. And part of that keli is to be able to give to others and be a shliach of the Rabbanu Shalom who can do it himself. But he wants you to do it for him, so you'll get the schus. That's a healthy way of looking at tzedakah, taking consideration that even with that, the Rabbanu Shalom wants you to do it in a way that's normal and that you're not going to suffer either. That people shouldn't learn from you. Ali Vazbez says, I'm a Vazbez, a person who wastes money shouldn't waste more than a fifth. Giving tzedakah is wasting. Yeah, if you do it in the wrong way, and you become an Ani, and people say, I'm not going to give him tzedakah, look at that guy, he gave so much tzedakah, and he went poor because of it, so you're not necessarily doing any good, you're doing bad, you're wasting the money. So tzedakah, how much you give, and who you give to, and how you give, like Rabbi Stein said, is very important. Right? And therefore you should ask, Talmid Chacham, Baruch Hashem, a Rav, a Talmud Chacham, should ask an Eitzah, before you give tzedakah to the wrong places, in the wrong amounts, to the wrong people, ask for Eitzah, where it's kedai to give, and where it's kedai to give a matana muetes, and where it's kedai to give more, and who has precedence, or whatever is halachas. Because, again, the aniyim, the Rabbanim will take care of. But you want to get the schus in the way that's the most roy, right, and the most fitting. So you have to do it according to the way the halacha says to do it.